Amen. Thank you. Let's look right up this way. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis this evening. And I certainly appreciate Brother Donald, man, has a heart for God. You guys, we do a lot of goofing off because, we're goofballs. That's the way it works. But what we're here for is not so that I can get a hold of your heart, but so that God can get a hold of your heart. We want God to be able to do that. We had a good day today, and I'm not going to re-say what Brother Donald said. I'm going to try not to re-say anything that Brother Brown said today, other than the fact that I like what you said about, you know, your Brother Brown. You're like not their big brother. You're Brother Brown, as in like an elder, like a pastor, right? I mean, he's going to be a pastor. I think that's great. You know, something that if we're not careful, we lose. We think that we can be like buddy-buddy with the elders. Now, he's not too terribly much older than you all, neither am I. But he deserves respect, and I thought that was great, and I wanted to bring that up. Then I thought the swimming was awesome. Swimming was incredible today. I think swimming's kind of like, it's like the judgment-free zone of camp. Because the guys, the girls, I know you don't think that this is the way it works, but the guys, they go swimming, they go swimming, and it's like they think, all right, you know, guys, when you go swimming, you take your shirt off, and you think, I'm going to impress everybody. And you think that you've got these big muscles and you jump in, man, you're just like, you know, jumping in. And you think you look like a bodybuilder, but really you look like the Liberty Mutual blow-up guy who's just doing this. You know, have you seen that guy? I think every time I see him, I think that is me. Because he's just like, you know, somebody hits him and he just bounces back, you know. Like that. That's great. That's kind of how we were today. A bunch of skinny white guys and it was all good. So, mostly white. But anyway, it was all good. Had a good time. Ladies, I don't really know much about your swim time other than I hear that my wife and Brother Donald's wife were playing a prank on some of you ladies. How many got water dumped on you? You know what? It doesn't even matter. You're going swimming anyway. Why are you complaining? I saw the video of this lady right here standing under this ledge, innocent, being deceived. Can you believe you were deceived by a worker? By what? Oh, Uncle Jack, you're tattling on your wife. My goodness, I didn't realize that. I heard her say it. She said, I'm not going to do anything to you. And she didn't. It was Mrs. Savini and Mrs. Russ. So that's pretty cool. But other than that, guys, this camp out has been great. I've loved it. It's been good to see a lot of you back from last year. It's been good to meet a lot of new faces. And I'm excited to see how serious you all seem about doing something for God. Last night, I go back to this so much because it's really something I believe. If it's got to be in your heart. And really, the first message that I preached last night is kind of the one thing I want us to remember all through every service. I mean, Brother Brown today preached on such a practical thought of how to go back to school. And he talked about what the will of God it was. The will of God is to do right where you're at today. It's to do right when you go back to school. You really don't get much more practical than that. You know, we kind of think, well, the will of God, woo, you know, some mystical thing that we're never going to quite figure out. I used to think the will of God for my life was going to be so scary. I was scared of the will of God, Brother Brown. I was scared. This is because I really believe, you know, I heard all the preachers say it. God has a will for your life. God has a will for your life. And I was like, but what if God's will for my life is that I marry an ugly woman? I had that fear. Now, thankfully, that didn't happen. All right. But, I mean, I used to think, listen, the will of God is not scary. In all seriousness, guys, the will of God is incredible. It's not something that you know about beforehand. It's sometimes you get through it and go, wow, God led us into that. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Look in Genesis chapter 13 and go to verse 1. I tell you what, stay where you are. We're going to begin at verse 10. But let me tell you about verses 1 through 10 before we get to verse 10. Abram, whose name later was changed to Abraham, we talked a little bit about him today, Brother Brown did. Abram and Lot, now pay attention real quickly and just listen. I've got to have your attention, okay? Is everybody with me? Everybody with me? I want to make sure everybody's eyes are this way for just a minute, okay? Up this way, please. Help me, ladies, help me real quick. Okay. Abram and Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. God told Abraham, I want you to get up out of your country, out of your homeland, away from your father's house, away from everything you know, and go to a land. What land, God? I'll show you. That's kind of how Abraham lived his whole life. It wasn't like he ever really knew where he was going. That's a scary thought, and it doesn't mean that we can't plan and we can't prepare, but that's how Abraham lived his life. He had enough faith in God. He was a friend of God. That's his reputation in the Bible. He had enough faith in God to say, okay, God, if you say go here, I believe that's where I'm supposed to be. And then the next place you tell me to go, I'm going to be there. And whether I go to school or whether I go to work or whether I go home or whether I'm with my friends, whatever the case may be, basically Abraham's attitude was, I'm just going to do whatever you tell me. I'm going to be your friend, God. I want everybody to know that I'm your friend. Brother Donald and I are friends. You know we're friends. People think we act alike, look alike, talk alike a little bit, smell similar and things like that, but we're friends. We rub off on each other. Brother Donald was such a terrible influence on me in college. Not really. He was a great influence on me, and we were able to really the boy. I remember the way we became friends was by going to a room and having time in prayer. That's where it really started, and that's it's gone so much further than that, but that's where it started. And when you're friends with God, you rub off on each other. And so Abraham, no matter who he was with, they knew that he had God all over him. And so he said, wherever I go, God, I just want to reflect you. I just want to be part of your will. I want to do whatever you want. If I can be a blessing by being here, then send me there. If I can be a blessing by going somewhere else, then I'll go there. And Abraham and Lot took off together. So Abraham takes all of his cattle. He takes all of his possessions. He takes everything, and then Lot, he takes all of his servants and all of his cattle and all of the sheep and whatever they had, and they go off together. And the Bible says that their empires, it was kind of like they both had two little empires going. Abraham had all of his possessions and servants, and Lot had all of his, and they grew and they added. It's kind of like they were getting more and more wealthy. All right, you with me tonight? They were getting more and more wealthy. And the Bible says that Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Abraham was rich, Lot was rich. Then in verse 5, in verse 6, it says, the land was not able to bear them. It got to be so uncomfortable because there were so many people, so many flocks, that they were having a hard time keeping Abraham's cattle out of Lot's cattle. And they were having a hard time keeping Abraham's servants from fighting with Lot's servants. So Abraham came to Lot, and this is what he did. Go to verse number 10. Let's go to verse number 8. I'm sorry. It says, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. He said, I don't want to fight with you, Lot. I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want to get into a control type situation where it's all about who can be bigger and better. Verse number 9, he says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. So here's what he was saying, guys. Pay attention real quick. Look this way. He was saying, Lot, if you go this way, I'll go this way. That way we don't have any more problems. They had to separate so there were no more problems in their life, basically, with each other. And Abraham wasn't even being mean about it. It wasn't like he was kicking Lot out. He said, Lot, here's the thing. The whole land is before you. Everything you see, all the way around, look all the way around you, Lot. Everywhere you see, he said, you can pick any direction you want to go, and because I don't want to be a burden to you and I want to not have strife with you, I will let you take that land and I will go the opposite way. Verse number 10. Here it is. I want you to look at these words with me, okay? And Lot lifted up his, what's the next word?
Eyes.
And beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord likened to the land of Egypt as thou comest unto Zoar. Look at verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. You got to pay attention here. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Now hold on. Everybody stop. Keep your place marked in your Bible because we're going to go back, but close it for just a minute. I want to talk about the Bible for a minute. And I promise you I will stay with what the Bible says, okay? Lot looked. And where Lot looked, he eventually lived. Let me say it again. Listen. Lot lifted up his eyes. He looked. And where Lot looked, eventually he lived. Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked out and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and it was towards a city that we now know as Sodom and Gomorrah. Bad place to be. It was so bad that God sent two of his servants in to warn Lot that he was going to destroy it later on. And the men of the city came out and wanted to literally abuse these men in a very nasty way. That's how bad it was. It was so bad that the Bible says it was nothing but a big party scene everywhere, and that there was all kinds of, listen, immorality and disgusting and perverted things going on. It was disgusting. But here's what happened. Lot looked toward Sodom, and he ended up living in Sodom. Think about it for a minute. Where you look is where you will live. Where you are looking is where you will end up living. Lot lifted up his eyes. He looked at the well-watered plains. And then it says this, and Lot chose the well-watered plains. Lot said, I want to be there. When you have something in your life that, whether it's good or bad, that it consumes your mind, and that you give all of your attention to it, and you let that kind of be the focal point of your life, and you let that be, whether it's a relationship, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whether it's money, whether it's just entertainment. Some of you guys are probably pretty athletic. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's something else that's just like we talked about this morning. All it is something to do, something to have, or something to be. And that's what you are looking at all the time. That's where you're going to live. What I pay attention to, what I focus on, and what I give my attention to is what I end up letting my mind be consumed with. It's what I end up basing my choices on, and it's where I end up living. Lot decided, by the way, Lot was a lot like us. Lot was a lot like us, okay? He said, all right, there's Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just going to go that direction, but I won't live in Sodom. I won't live there. No. I'm not like that. Don't worry, Pastor Donald. I may just be skipping out on church every once in a while, but don't worry. I'm not getting away from God or anything, Pastor Donald. It's no big deal. Pastor Donald, it's just one or two times. I'm just hanging out with my friends at the mall. They do some things that are questionable, but I would never do that because you know me. I mean, I'm a Christian. Woo, man, I'm telling you, no one's going to get me off track. Don't worry, Pastor Donald. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. It's no big deal. I'm just looking that direction. I'm not actually going to live there. And the very next chapter, the Bible says, Lot, who lived in Sodom. Oh, that was short. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. That means every morning, like these tents, they didn't look like these, but let's imagine they did. Every time he unzipped the tent and walked out, Sodom and Gomorrah was right there. And Lot just kind of went, huh, it's interesting, and went about his day. And maybe the second day he got up and he stepped out of the tent and he looked and he went, I wonder what they've got going on over there. He thought about it a little bit more. And that night before he went to bed, maybe he sat outside for a while and he could hear the loud music. And he could see the lights. And he could hear the people laughing. And he could hear the screams. And he could hear the excitement. And it seemed so exciting. And maybe Lot's kids said, Dad, can we go there? No, not right now. That's Sodom. I'm not really comfortable with that. We go from, oh, I would never do that, to, not really comfortable with it. At least not that far. And his kids said, okay, Daddy. And maybe about a week later, they said, Dad, they've got a really cool program, a really cool movie playing over at Sodom. And we want to go. And some friends came out and they invited us and they said, hey, if you come with us, we'll have a good time. Dad, can we please go? Just be this one time. And Lot said, boy, I really don't think I should do this. But yeah, I guess just one time won't hurt. It's fine. Pretty soon, Lot said, well, if we're going to be spending so much time in Sodom, I guess we better just move closer. So we moved into the city, and pretty soon, some people came to Lot and said, hey, Lot, you're a pretty sharp guy. We like the way you look. By the way, the world always likes the way you look as a Christian. They think, wow, look at that. They're sharp, but they want to ruin your life. The devil wants to destroy you. And they said, man, Lot, you've got some wisdom that we don't have. Of course he does. He's a child of God. And they said, why don't you sit at the gate with us? And so pretty soon now Lot is actually a leader. And then pretty soon he gets involved in the politics. And now his kids get older. And one of his kids says, I'm going to marry that girl. And Lot says, that girl's not godly. That girl's not right. But I guess I can't really do anything about it. I brought him here. And so that one gets married. And then others finally marry. And finally has two daughters at home. And they're not, maybe they're not married to bad people, but they're not doing right. And one day two angels come and they bang on the door. And they say, listen, God is going to destroy this city. And if you don't get out, you're going to be destroyed with it. You, your wife, and your two daughters, Lot, you've got to go. You've got to get out. So Lot grabs his wife by the arm and says, daughters, follow me. And they head out and they go up into a mountain. And as they're going, all of a sudden behind them, they hear big, loud explosions. I don't know if you all saw the picture, the video of the factory in China that just exploded. But that's kind of what I envision when I think about Lot hearing the sounds behind him. And up against the mountain, the city's behind him, he can see the flashes of light. And maybe over his head, he sees those big comets or those big fireballs coming out of heaven. The Bible says God destroyed Sodom by sending fire from heaven. And the angel said, do not look back. This all started with a look. Ladies, this all started with a look. Lot would not have seen his other children die if he had not looked. Hey, this all started with a look, so the angel says, do not look back. And Lot's wife, you see, Lot was just. He stayed at least somewhat right. But Lot's wife, she said, I like the city. I like the parties. I like the environment. I like the fun. I like the sin, is what she was saying. And she couldn't help herself. Everything that she was wanting in her life, she finally did exactly what Lot did. She turned around and she looked. And the Bible says God turned her into a pillar of salt. Boom. Right there on the spot. So my question for you tonight is this. Where are you looking? Because you're looking always affects your living. And your living, catch this now, you might have to think about it for a second, but listen, everybody wake up, sit up straight, listen to this for me for just a minute. Your living always determines the legacy that you leave. What does that mean? It means it's what you will be remembered by. I could also say this, Lot's looking affected his living, which affected his leading, which affected his legacy. You know what we remember Lot by? We remember him by that terrible moment at Sodom and Gomorrah. We remember this. Now listen, I don't mean to be inappropriate today, but this is what happened. Lot's daughters got him drunk and they had children by their father. That's disgusting, you say. I know it's disgusting, but that's what Lot is remembered by. Where are you looking? There was a man in the Bible, listen to me for just another couple minutes, and we're going to have a time to make some decisions tonight because that's why we're here. Listen, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Samson. Samson was the strongest man in the world. He was like the Hercules, the real life Hercules. The Bible says every time the Philistines would come against him, the strength of God would come into him, he'd go out, and at times he killed up to 1,000 Philistines at one time with just the jawbone of a donkey for a weapon. He didn't have a bazooka, or he didn't even have a tank or anything like that, just a couple of bones. And he fought them off, and he killed 1,000 men. Samson had a problem, though. Samson couldn't keep his eyes in the right place. And so he looked at a girl from a place called Timnath, and he said to his parents, this is what he said. This is so spoiled of Samson. He said, get her for me. I want that girl. Samson, you are a you've taken a Nazarite vow. You cannot do this, Samson. I want that girl. And he threw a fit, so they got her. So you know what happened? Samson, he found this girl from Timnath. Her in-laws took her away from Samson and let her marry someone else. So then Samson killed a bunch of the Philistines. So then the Philistines killed Samson's wife. So then Samson went out and killed a bunch more. So then the Philistines came and attacked Samson. So then Samson fought again. So then they sent Delilah, and Delilah got the best of him because he had a weakness for looking. And finally, at the end, all we know of Samson is that he put his hands on the pillar and he said, "Lord, avenge me." I kind of think that was kind of selfish too, because he still wasn't all that interested in what God wanted, and he pushed the pillars, the supporting pillars of the building in, and killed thousands of Philistines and his life as well. You know what? Samson's life, we say, wow, man, that was a strong guy. Yeah, but his life ended so bad. So bad. Basically, he ended up having a McMinistry. It was just like, really, Samson? You're strong. You could have anything you want. You're being used of God in such a great way, and you act like a kid. You act like a brat. But Samson's problem was his looking was wrong. So, his living was wrong. It was a mess. He shot under what his potential was. It was terrible. Where are you looking? Mine eye, check this out, guys. Listen. Mine eye, the Bible says, affecteth mine heart. What you look at is where you will live on the inside, and where you're living on the inside will eventually come to the outside. And how you live on the outside is what you will be remembered by. I'm challenging you tonight. Listen, I'm going to close this down pretty short tonight, to be honest with you, compared to last night. I know I talked forever and ever last night. And ever, yes. But if you want to do what's right, if you want to live for God, if you want this camp out to be a success, if you want to say, if you want to be able to look back and say, I'm glad I lived my life for God. I'm glad that I gave to God what He asked me to give Him. I'm glad that I don't have the regrets that some people have. And I thank Brother Brown for being so transparent and saying, listen, there was 4 years of my life I regret every day. I wish I hadn't done that. And by the way, I think everyone has regrets, but he was transparent with it, with us today. If you want to be able to stand up, listen, guys, stand up and say, I'm thankful and I'm humble today and I'm grateful that I don't have those. You've got to look the right direction. I've got to show you this and we're done. After, here it is, we're talking about finding the will of God and all that stuff. After Lot chose Sodom, look down in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 13. No talking for just a minute. Let me find our place here and we'll finish. Says, the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, here's what he said, check this out, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Whoa! That is the Abrahamic covenant. That is a big deal. That's still involved today. Here's the difference. Lot made decisions based on what he could see. Abraham made decisions based on what he could not see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, Abraham, he did that which was right, and then God revealed the way. Lot did that which he thought was right after he saw what looked good to him. So if you're looking at life today and you say, you know what, serving God doesn't look so good. You don't know. Because Abraham, he got the lesser part. He got the, like, if Lot was green, if Lot picked the green and well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham turned around, there was basically ground, grass, and sand. I mean, that's basically what the difference was. Lot went, that's the best place, so I'm going to take it. And what we do is we say, what looks good now, we're going to take. And Abraham just said, I am willing to do whatever God wants. I am willing to put God first. Because after he had faith, God said, now, Abraham, I want you to look. You see, Abraham could not see all that God would do. Abraham could not see that God would give him Isaac and would eventually make a great nation. He couldn't see that yet, but God's done it and God is continuing to do it. Abraham couldn't see all the wonderful miracles. Abraham couldn't see that, listen, that the Messiah would be born through his bloodline and through his people, and that Jesus, who died on the cross, was one who came through the line of Abraham there. He didn't see all of that, but guess what? He knows it now. And we're paying more attention to Abraham tonight as far as the good stuff goes than we are Lot. But we make the same mistake Lot did. We say, well, that looks good to me, so I want it, and I want it now. Samson, that looks good to me, I want it, and I want it now. Get it for me. I deserve this. I'm entitled. And God says, if you will just have faith, and if you will follow me, and if you will do the will of God from the heart, serving God, being faithful to Him, not taking the shortcuts, not backing away from what God wants you to do, not saying, well, I'm tired, I don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like reading my Bible, but I'll do it anyway, having that attitude instead, doing what's right in spite of how you feel, in spite of what you think is going on. Pay attention, look right up here, open everybody's eyes and look this way. If you will be willing to see the results after you have the faith, instead of to try to see what you want now and take it for yourself, God will bless you. Let's bow our heads. Where are you looking? Where are you looking? What are you so consumed with that it's more important than God? It's more important than church. It's more important than your Bible. Hey guys, listen, it could be the same problem Samson had. Maybe it's a girl. You say, I just got to have her. She's so beautiful. Well, if she's not godly, she's not beautiful. Girls, the same thing for a guy. Well, unless I skip church every once in a while, I hang out with him, he won't be my boyfriend. And if he's not my boyfriend, I just don't know what I will do. My status on Facebook will change and everything's going to be terrible. Listen, none of that matters, guys. Think about it. None of it matters. Abraham didn't see until after he did right. Lot thought he was doing right by seeing and taking what he wanted. So where are you looking tonight?